CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com on a Tuesday morning. We are joined by Gilly Apter as our special guest today, back by popular demand, because when she was on the other day, people loved her so much they wanted to hear more from her. Sia Sangweni is here too. And we are ready to talk about pretty much anything that's on your mind this morning. We had JJ Cornish just a second ago putting the fear of God into us with these jihadis who live right next door. I mean, this is like having an apartment and you hear banging on the walls and you just go, I don't know if I should be reporting this or if I should just shut up because it could get worse. And that's exactly what's going on there. So already one South African killed.
Imagine what it's like to live with JJ Cornish, like every morning. You would just wake up into a panic attack every day. And he's so chilled. How is he so chilled out?
But because he's been
when to... When he knows so much.
He's been to these places. I mean, he's been to Libya when Gaddafi was the dictator there. He's been to Nigeria a couple of times. He's been to African countries that we haven't even heard of. He's been to Guinea-Bissau. He was telling us the other day about the Gambia and this tiny little country, which is based like along a river. And it's only about as thick as, it's got like a kilometer or two on either side of this river. And it's a you know, fully fledged sovereign country. They're famously a country that has a 4-day week, not a 5-day week. So they don't believe in, I think that's quite a good reason to go there, if there ever was
a
reason.
I'm moving there. But if I was JJ Cornish, I would just be screaming all the time if I had that information in my brain. I would just wake up screaming and go to bed screaming.
Speaking of a four-day week, this is a 4-day week, so we've only really got tomorrow and Thursday, and then there's a nice long weekend. Which
true. April is our experiment of 4-day weeks.
That's right. We get Friday off this week, and we get Monday off as well as a bonus. So if you think that's all, there is more, because on the 27th of April we get Freedom Day, and then on the 1st of May we get Workers' Day as well. So lots of holidays coming up this year. It's a good one. Mm-hmm. Now, as if
I don't think we need them, but
as if you could tell the difference.
Why
at the
don't
moment.
You think we need them?
Everything's a holiday now.
You know, you know, some of us are not, you know, working every single day.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, like, after a year of a lot of people not having any work, I just don't think we need so many public holidays for once in our lives.
Yeah, you're not going to find any argument with me. Sia, of course, would like a holiday every other day.
I would like a holiday in my life, but it needs to be paid for. These are very holidays
right.
Is not really the whole story. You know what I mean?
Correct. All right, so Sia's got a funny story for us about a girl who caught her cheating boyfriend after, listen to this, his smartwatch showed that he had burnt 500 calories. Yeah, his smartwatch said you burnt 500 calories at 2 a.m. And she was like, you're not really going for a jog at 2 a.m., are you? So she figured out that he'd been cheating on her. This has got to be one of the most stupid things technology has done to people, is it's made it impossible for us to lie about fairly obvious things, right?
That's so good. I was going to say, I thought that maybe she saw a message come up on the watch or whatever, you know what I mean, from like the person he was having an affair with. I didn't think she would be – women are so good at like deducing you know, anything that leads to cheating. We are good at like making those connections.
But I mean, how silly and how, what else could you really be doing at 2 a.m.?
I don't know,
when
but she's
you
brilliant.
Piece
I think
those
that's
together.
Genius. I would just think like, you know, he's overworked his brain or something.
Her name is Nadia Essex, and she used to live with her then boyfriend. But this was an evening where he was out. So that was already like, you know, someone might be on edge because of something like this. And she said that they have, you know, their Fitbits are synced together so they can track their devices. They can track, you know, they have a fitness tracker so they know how much they're losing, you know, what activity they're doing. And this is how it all came to be. So she said it was around 2 a.m. when she got an unusual notification after just after he came home late that evening. So she thought, this is a little weird, that between 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. in the morning, he burned over 500 calories. And so with that strange calorie burn, you know, she deduced, really, it is not the best time to
now, let me tell you what's happening
out.
Here.
What do you
think? Let me tell you what's happening here. She's jealous of his calorie loss. That's what she's really upset about. They were fitness partners. He went and lost 500 calories without her in the middle of the night. I think that's what's really going on here.
Have you ever noticed? I mean, you talk about, you know, they synced their Fitbits. Have you seen these couples who have like joint Facebook accounts?
Yes.
What is that? Please try and answer it for me, because I've seen this before. You know, they've got like, you know, William and Mary, what's his name? And then you go to their profile and it's a picture of both of them. And yeah, it's their combined Facebook account. I do not understand this at all. There's got to be some serious suspicion going on there, that people who are just not comfortable with each other doing their own thing. They're joined at the hip.
I also think it's people like, some people are like, have a fear of social media. So they're like, let's do this together, because they don't have the guts to have their own account.
I hadn't thought about that. That's a good explanation, but I think it's probably quite dangerous long term. You can't have a joint social media account. Well, I just think it seems to me to indicate that there's some lack of trust in the relationship. Like, you know, they don't build profiles for two people. You're meant to have your own profile, and you could say in your profile that you're married to X or Y, and, you know, you post all your pictures together, and if you've got stuff going on. But the fact that you need to have a joint account, maybe one of them has already cheated or done something, and, you know, it just seems to me like you're trying a bit hard there. And this is our joint
Facebook. I don't know why. I feel like I have that phase in me. And it's going to come up one day.
The moment you were nodding, I was like, this is exactly the kind of thing Sia would do. There's no question in my mind.
It is so in me. It is going to happen.
Why would you do it? Is it a control thing?
No, just like something that just has to happen. I think I'll be that nauseatingly annoying person. I will be that person who will not even care about, you know, what people think when I match with my partner.
No, but see,
I think you need matching clothes, you need a joint Facebook account.
See, I don't believe
I'll be that person who now I won't even be able to make decisions anymore.
It's I don't believe you. We never even know when you're dating someone. You don't make a big deal of it.
You're discreet.
Yeah, you are discreet. You kind of just get on with your life, and, you know, we sort of occasionally you'll drop some hint on the show that you went out on a date or whatever. But we never know more than that about you. I can't see you having a joint Facebook account. I think this is nonsense.
No, you know what's going to happen. Sia's going to make the person share his joint account, but he's going to have his own account on the side.
Right.
I know exactly what's going on here.
Right.
Okay? He only wants the other person to be surveilled.
Right.
But he's going to keep his own account.
The known like that.
Well, Busted Sana, I think, is hitting on you here, Gilly. She says, Gilly, oh my gosh, you're gorgeous. Your hair is so lush, and look at that jawline, girl. Hot damn.
Thanks. Oh. I'll take it. A compliment in the morning. It's like drugs.
Jerry says it's fucking lame having one page on Facebook together. So he's obviously on our side there, Gilly. Annette says it's creepy and it's nauseating when people have joined Facebook. Yeah. Ooh. Older couples tend to have a joint account, says LB.
That's because it takes two older brains to operate one social media account.
True.
Well, I just wonder how it works, because the whole thing is set up for individuals. It's not set up for couples. So, you know, when you say, does it say our favorite books, or does it say my favorite books, or does it say my friends?
No, they have to operate as one, you know.
Yes.
They have to operate as one, and it's quite, I do think that is a little bit codependent, and I think that some therapy needs to happen.
Yeah, they probably need to talk about it.
You're right there, but also for some people it's comforting And I only say that looking at my parents, you know, yes, it's sweet, but I'm also of the mind that sometimes, joking aside, it does get annoying. But, you know, my parents always say, oh no, like my mom will say, oh no, he's my best friend. I'm like, no, get a life, go out and see other people. But they enjoy that. They enjoy being together all the time and they enjoy doing things together. You can't ask my dad about my mom or vice versa without it being a, well, yeah, let me ask your mom what she wants to do. It's like no one can make even an individual decision at this point.
They've become totally symbiotic. Yeah, it's like a symbiosis. They can't actually do stuff without each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, look,
my parents are also a unit like that, and my mother gets very upset. For example, my dad goes for walks every morning. And sometimes she wants to go with him, but sometimes he escapes without her. And that's the word she uses. He escapes.
and she doesn't like that, huh? She feels left behind and alone.
No, she feels left behind. She doesn't like it at all.
Listen, I do think it's sweet, though, when older couples have been together for such a long time that they are in that sort of situation. It's also kind of dangerous because if something happens to one of them, the other one falls in a complete heap. You got to be careful with that.
I worry about that stuff a lot.
Absolutely. Well, we were going to talk to Bulelani Balabala this morning because he's got some interesting stuff to tell us about the township economy. And as you know, Bulelani's been part of the Cliff Central family for a long time, and we spoke to him not so long ago on my TV show as well. He's running this Township Entrepreneurs Initiative, which is incredible, and I've actually been to one or two of them in Tembisa. We have people who come up with brilliant business ideas, and Bulelani introduces people to each other, helps them market their companies, and there's some very, very interesting stuff going on that I wanted you to hear about this morning. He just told us, though, that he is having some power outages and low connectivity, which is not unusual. It's not unlike what we were having last week on the show. So we probably won't speak to him today, but we will speak to him in the next couple of weeks about what he's doing inside South Africa's what they call informal economy, the township economy, which is really a lot bigger than everybody thinks. And it's where all the action is. So if you want to know about that, we will get Bulelani on at some point in the not too distant future. So this is interesting. Sandra says that it's a bit ageist of us to say that older couples have a joint account. So do you think ageism is a thing? I sometimes find myself saying stuff that I suppose you could consider ageist. Is it in the same category as racist or sexist or homophobic or transphobic or any of those things? Because ageism is just something that's inevitable, right? And aging is something that's inevitable. I think that older people do tend to look down on younger people, and younger people tend to ridicule older people. Isn't that just part of what happens?
Good point.
I mean, I don't think it's as bad. I don't think there's any, like, violence or something as a result of ageism. And what happens is everyone's always experiencing it to some degree, I find. Like, when I say people, I'm talking about people maybe who are in their 70s, but I've heard people refer to me as an old person.
Mm. Have you ever...
Who's referring to you as an old person?
No, like a 20-year-old will say...
Evil people.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I hate it when in Afrikaans culture, a lot of people say and tani. When, you know, anybody's...
Oh, I was about to say, the first time somebody called me Tani, I nearly fell over dead. And you know what the worst is? The worst is it wasn't a little child. It's the child's mother who's like, say hello to the Tani.
Yes.
Like, bitch, who's the Tani here?
I completely agree. So if you're just 1 year older than someone, in most Afrikaans families, they call you Oom or Tani. So it can get very, very scary for you. And I remember the first time it happened to me, I was also horrified. It's like, no, you're not going to have to call me that. And there's some parents who insist that their kids call someone auntie this or uncle that if they're friends of theirs. And, you know, some people like to call their parents by their first names. So I don't know which one's more ageist. I'm not sure which one is correct, but I don't like the idea of people calling me Oom. it's not a good thing.
No, Sunny.
Sorry, y'all. This is not
the end of me.
Hmm.
This is not the conversation I'm going to be part of right now. Mm-hmm.
Well, wait, Sia.
Can't relate.
What are you trying to say?
One of these days.
Wait till somebody calls you Tani, Sia.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And then you're going to fall apart, Sia. You're suddenly going to realize, like, I'm the oldest person in this particular crowd, and it's not going to go well for you.
Sia, how old are you?
20. Oh, geez. I actually 15. Forgot for a split second. They're 26.
He's 15.
26.
Yeah. See, yeah. still got it right and still got it tight.
Still got it.
Sandra,
I'm going to use that for other things.
Sandra's letting us know. She says she's 70. She has a Facebook account, Instagram, and Twitter. Yeah, but Sandra, then you're the exception to the rule. I mean, my parents, they don't have any of those things, and I'm really happy that they don't, because I don't think...
Well, that's better. My parents have them, and then I'm tech support.
No, you see, that's no good.
Oh, yes.
So it depends.
You see, Sandra
might be one of those cool people who knows how to use those things, but I know, like, I don't, my parents don't need to have an Instagram or, I just don't see it going well.
With some people, it's a little justified, though. When you're being ageist, I feel like it is justified. My mother, for example, she still hasn't had the proper hang of something like WhatsApp or something like Facebook. For her, she's gone through, and not even gone through, because these accounts are still there. She has about 8 different Facebook accounts. No kidding. Because I think sometimes she'll think she's logging into her account, but meanwhile she's creating a new one, or then with one she's forgotten her password, so she can't even do that recovery thing, so she'll just create a new one.
Yeah.
When it comes to WhatsApp, she'll think she's updating her status, her WhatsApp status,
but instead she's updating her profile picture.
Mm-mm.
My parents are quite good, but the problem with my parents, especially my mother, is that they are now so into social media and technology that they think that it can do things that it can't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, they overestimate what the potential of the apps are. So sometimes my mother will be like, how do I get this TV show that I was watching on my iPad to play in my car? First, you've got to trade in your Toyota, Mom.
Yeah, listen, also there's the big danger, and this is a serious part of this, is like when Sia says his mom can't work out which Facebook account she's on and how to retrieve a password. This is how a lot of scammers and criminals get hold of so many older people, because they're not familiar with the technology, and then they, clear out their bank account, or they get their credit card details or something like that. And there's a lot of danger in that. You've got to actually watch your parents if they're not like Sandra. I mean, Sandra sounds like she's pretty cool with this stuff.
No, Sandra's on top of it.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm trying to also just find examples here of my mother, Shame, and how she texts. She's usually a good texter, but punctuation isn't her thing when she's texting. I think to go in and find symbols and commas and full stops is a lot. So one has to like read over her text 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
For you to piece together, this is where full stop should be, and this is the start of a new sentence. Shame. It's little things like that where I think,
now, it is justified. Some people would say we're being very ageist, because there are older people who really have, they've figured out all this stuff. In fact, they might have been ahead of the rest of us on the curve. And they're good at things like emojis, and they know how to use GIFs and all of that stuff. But there are others who, Sia, even setting up the TV show, there are lots of older people who are as good as 20-year-olds on like Zoom and Skype and that kind of thing. And then there are those ones who are totally technophobic and have no idea what's going on. I mean, Lanisha.
I think we have to, sometimes we have to like get rid of conventions. You know, I've been recently accused of hating question marks because I forget to question marks on the end of sentences. I don't have time for a question mark. You understand my tone when I'm asking you a question, don't you?
Yeah, we have to read your mind. Lanice says her mother is more technologically advanced than she is. Yeah, I suppose.
Wow.
Maybe that's a good point. Dogozo says the security guards at the complex.
Impressive and dangerous.
The security guards at the complex that I live in, which are grown-ass people in their 20s, call me Booty, and I'm only 31. It's horrible. I started thinking that I look old. Well, imagine how you're going to feel when they start calling you Ketla. Or
It's a slippery slope, Ndogoza.
Yeah, that's going to happen to you, man. And because they do, like in Zulu culture, there's, you know, mfana, and then there's what's the one for uncle?
Malume,
and then there's the older, who are the elders, and then there's the very old people, and they actually call you those things.
Yes.
Yeah. So they'll call you, you know, like Malume Sia, and then you're like, oh no, that's very similar to Afrikaans culture in that way. They also age you.
I would like to just not be a tunny. Anything that gets me to not be a tunny, please, please.
What do you see, Gilly? If someone calls you tunny, how do you picture that? What do you picture tunny as being?
That's a very good question. I can get into trouble.
I want to know I want to know what's in your head. Like, if you see a tunny, is it some old lady with silver hair and a bun?
Yeah, gray hair, bun, big, slow. You know. Friendly, maybe. Kind.
Wearing a floral print dress.
Floral with maybe a knitted cardigan that she knitted herself. You know.
Oh, bless.
And I don't want to knit any jerseys.
That's hilarious. Oh,
big and slow. That's a dangerous combination.
I just feel like it judges me by my age and not the content of my character. Do you know what I mean?
No, I got you.
All right, Martin Luther King Jr.
young people are also not great with technology. They're fodder for scamsters, says Andrea. I think he's right. That's not an age-specific thing. I mean, lots of people get taken advantage of, no matter how technologically advanced they are. I mean, Greg, who works with us at Cliff Central, he's easily the most, you know, advanced technical brain that I've ever encountered in my life. And he... to his surprise, to all of our surprise, even he got on a Zoom call with people who he thought he was meeting who were legit about the business. And these people managed to figure out how to hack into our Facebook accounts. So it could happen to anyone. You could be a really, really smart person who knows exactly what's going on. And they'll figure out a way to get you. JP,
you know,
says,
this sounds like you're describing what can happen on dating apps as well.
Big
people
time.
Scam you, bro.
Oh,
they
huge.
Steal. Yeah. Hearts, but
yeah. Well, I mean, oh. Gilly, I must tell you, I know somebody who's also not stupid, and she went on one of these dating apps, and she fell in love with this dude who lives overseas, and she was totally taken by him. I mean, for 6 months, she was convinced she'd found the love of her life.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept promising her he was going to come and visit. And every time he was going to come and visit, there was a problem at the airport, or there was this, or there was that. Then she was going to go and visit him, and he was going to buy her the ticket. And then there was a problem, and there was this, and there was that. There was always some excuse. And it turned out this guy was a total fraud. Total fraud.
But
you know what? This can happen in real life, too. I have a friend who this happened to in real life, you know. The guy kept telling her that his father owned like an island and all this stuff, and she believed him in real life.
Mm.
So I'm just saying.
No, this happens.
No, some people are just asking for it. Like, just get your affairs and shit in order. Don't be a nonsense.
Would that never happen to you, Sia? Maybe you're a scammer. Have you scammed people?
Sia's probably
for love.
He's catfishing people right now. That's part of what he does during the show.
Right now. Yeah. We think he's talking to us. He's actually got his seven Facebook accounts and like Tinder accounts, and he's just scamming people left, right, and center.
I'll tell you
stealing
what.
Stealing arts, money, boats.
I'll tell you what Sia used to do. Sia used to have his own show called Untapped Talent, which was meant to be like actors or musicians or singers or people who had a specific comedians, anybody who had a talent, and he would give them a platform on Cliff Central. It was his show, so we let him do whatever he wanted. And he would bring people on. It was funny, though. He always just brought really good-looking guys on his show. And nobody could work out. Nobody could work out exactly what was happening until like 10 episodes in. Sia was only inviting really good-looking guys, and
that is such a good scam.
We kind of clicked. Ah, so he's using the show to find dates, which is what he was doing.
I love that. That is a real dating platform. Congratulations.
So
that show was for great, genuine.
We eventually instead of calling it Untapped Talent, we eventually changed the name of it to Tapping the Talent with Sia Sangweni. JP says that when he thinks of, anyway, of tunnies, he thinks of ladies in bloomers. And Basitsana says she sees Sally Spectra hair when somebody says tunny. Like Sally Spectra was that woman from Bold and the Beautiful with the very big, very teased, very teased hair. Yeah.
Hey, talking about age and growing older, here's something that I'm quite excited to get my hands on and watch.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard or seen buzz around the new, the new Tina Turner documentary.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I haven't, but I'm dying to see that.
I love Tina Turner. Did you hear what she said? She released this and she said, "I'm tired. Here it is. This is the last, my last word. Now leave me alone." So she's over.
And I think that is so cool. That's so badass to say, yeah, that's it. Like, there's nothing else for me to say. You know, she's officially retired. And I don't even, and I believe her, not like some people who call it a retirement or a final tour just so that they can rack up some money. And then 3 years later, they come back with another retirement tour.
Barbara Streisand has had like 14 final tours. And then she suddenly decides, oh no, I can do another one. But this Tina Turner, right? She's an incredible woman. I mean, we all know about her early life and then the fact that she had this horrible, horrible relationship with Ike Turner, who was abusive.
Oof. Yeah, I mean, that movie. Do you remember that movie? Was it called What's Love Got to Do With It?
Yeah.
With Angela Bassett playing her. Oh, it left a huge impression. Huge. Unreal.
And the real Tina Turner is every bit as fiery and had to put up with all of the horrible things that you see in that movie. And she, throughout it all, kind of held her dignity. She was such an incredibly strong woman. And she's talented as all hell. And when she'd done all of her big movies and her big concerts in the 80s, she just decided she'd had enough. She found she found love. She married this dude and moved to Switzerland. And she's been living in Switzerland ever since. She's married to this extremely wealthy man, but she's got all of her own money as well. And apparently she just doesn't do anything except maybe occasionally go to the shops. And she lives in this exquisite little Swiss village. And yeah, she's... And even
that's like, my dream, to be super talented and then say to somebody, be in court and just have one of those courtroom scenes where I go like, you can have it all. All I want is my name. And then, you know, walk out into the sunset and go to Switzerland.
Yeah.
Buy handbags.
Well, they've offered her they've offered her hundreds of millions of dollars to go on tour again. And she's just refused every time. She won't even do interviews anymore. I think the last big one she did was with Oprah a long time ago. Sia, you'll know because you watch every Oprah interview ever. But I think that was the last big interview she did. And she's just said no more. This is her final word. This is the documentary. Now leave me alone.
And I know it's a little morbid to make this comparison, but somewhat whenever I hear of someone who has some sort of a fatal condition or something going on, I always think it's quite nice in a weird way to know that your life is coming to an end, to really just close it off properly, to say like, I'm going to say what I have to say, I'm going to handle all of my affairs. And that's the point I feel like Tina's in. She's had the career, she's released all of the songs, she retired from there, and now she says, you know, she has a lot of health issues right now. You know, she had a kidney transplant. She's had some form of cancer. There were two other major things that she has as well right now, and she doesn't think that she'll be alive for very long after this. And so this is her final word.
I just want to go out in style.
I love it.
And you know,
I told you guys what I'm doing just before I'm gonna die.
What are you gonna do?
I'm going to call everyone I know into an adjacent room to where my deathbed is, and then call them one at a time and then tell them what I think of them.
Oh, right. Forgot about that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's going to go down really well.
It's a classic.
You know what they're going to do then? They'll all gather in the adjacent room after you've said your say, and they'll say, you know what?
No, listen. I've got a plan for this. I know what you're thinking.
They're going to say,
they might organize, you know, an attack. But I have planned an other adjacent room. They come in through one room, like the bank. They're going to go out a separate door. Okay, they don't get to congregate after this.
Well, I'll tell you what. At your funeral, they're not going to be saying, "Oh, we're sad, Gilly's gone," because they'll all see each other at the funeral again. And they'll go, "That bitch."
I know, but I'll be gone.
Yeah, that's a good point. I love what Sia was saying just now about how you kind of you tie up your whole life and you put a little bow on it and you could say goodbye in a very dignified way. And really, Tina Turner, I think she's lived her whole life like that, and I think she's amazing. She's one of the people in the world who you could listen to her music and you get the same impression. But when I think about the personality of that woman, I'm just blown away by what a success and what a dignified creature she is. I love her to pieces. Mm. She's awesome.
And then Sandra, this isn't to you particularly, but I'm just going to compliment older people and say there's also something great about older people who just don't care anymore. And they'll just speak their mind and call a thing a thing. Like the snippets that I've seen with this Tina documentary, she speaks very candidly about, well, I was just doing all of these shows for the money.
Yeah.
And you know, with a lot of it, I was just over it. But up until I had enough money to know that I can survive for the rest of my life, that's why I stopped. And she says it wasn't a good life, but this is her life.
Right.
No, it wasn't pretty with all of the abuse.
She's very pragmatic.
Her health issues.
Yeah. She's nothing's personal. She's just very pragmatic about it. And old people also are so honest because they don't really care about whether they impress you or not. It's sort of like Gilly telling people what
I don't know. You know, there's also some negative things to that. My dad told me a story. He was at a funeral and there were two, he's very tall, and he was standing and there were two like old ladies drinking tea. It was the funeral of a person who had passed away at maybe 95 years old. So these ladies were about around that age. They were his friends.
Yeah.
And there were two ladies who were just standing there. He was just standing there doing absolutely nothing. And one of them turned to him and said, "You know what your problem is? You're too tall."
What are you going to do about it? That's ridiculous. That's outrageous.
I'm just saying, we don't need to tell everyone the truth about everything.
Well, this is what you want. So Abigail says, this is quite an interesting thing on Oom and Tani thing, and you know, calling people uncle or malume or whatever. Abigail says, in the so-called colored community in the Cape Flats, when you get called mummy, it doesn't gel well with me. So obviously that's happened to her, mummy. Yeah, an auntie, you know, they
mommy
say that
is,
a lot. That's quite similar.
Any form of mommy, auntie, tani.
Yeah, if I'm not related to you, don't be calling me, you know, any of those things. Jared says, I listened to a podcast about phishing and at the end, the security expert admitted that once he got scammed, just showing how legitimate these scammers can look. Yeah, man, I'm telling you, there's some dodgy people out there. Woody says, like going to America where the king wants to have his funeral while he's alive and then die during the funeral. Oh, man, I've got to
see. Firstly, it's called Coming to America, Woody.
Yes,
okay?
Yes, exactly.
Jeez, don't come here with quotes and then misquote the movie that's been around for 20 years.
Have you seen the new one yet?
I have.
I haven't. I've got to go and see it. I love that first one. Coming to America has got to be one of the movies that influenced me most as a kid. Engendered like the love I have for Eddie Murphy in ways that I...
Eddie Murphy. I mean, I would say I've watched them both recently. I can hear there's a bit of an echo on me for some reason.
Oh, sorry about that.
I watched them both recently. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, you are forgetting the first movie. You don't remember. It's very funny for the first 40 minutes. And then it's not that funny after that, I have to tell you.
Oh,
or maybe
I love Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, maybe that's right. Listen, a lot of stuff dates very badly, hey? So
yes. Yeah. And then I watched the new one, and the new one, I won't tell you what happens, but I think you might be disappointed. You know why?
Mm-hmm.
The plot is interesting and funny and far-ranging, and there's lots of great cameos, and we've got some South African stars in that movie, which is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Nomzamo's in that movie. Mm-hmm. So is, and she doesn't play a small role, by the way. She has a major plot line in that film. Trevor Noah's in the film. It's crazy. But Eddie Murphy is not funny in the movie. He doesn't get to be funny.
Yeah, you see, I always respected him in the same way that Tina Turner kind of left the music scene. For a long time, Eddie didn't do any movies, and for a long time, he wouldn't do any comedy. And I always thought like he was the king because he knew when to quit. It's like Dave Chappelle did the same thing, you know?
I don't think that's the same thing. You know, I listened to an interview with him recently. Do you know that he did his last stand-up when he was 28? He had been doing it for almost 10 years. He started when he was a teenager and he stopped when he was 28. And I think that's way too young. And in fact, he had a stand-up tour planned for last year because he decided that if he was going to retire, he didn't want his last work to not be good. And he was aware that the films that he had been making were not his best work. And he thought, I want to go out with a bang. He wants to make a movie. He wants to do, there was some other thing he wanted to do, which he's done. And then he's going to go on a stand-up tour. And that was set for 2020. And he's postponed it. He still is going to do it, he says.
Sure. Well, you know, sometimes you don't want to go over the finish line. Like if you've had a great career, sometimes it is better to quit while you're ahead. There are numerous examples of that. And I mean, obviously, Tina is the one that we're talking about this morning. But there are also those people who they just don't know when to stop. And then eventually everybody gets sick of them. Mm. And that, I think, must be the worst thing you can do to your career. That's just got to be the worst, especially if you are just doing things for money as well.
In slightly unrelated news, I've been watching the oddest toing and froing happen. Mike Tyson is allegedly going to come back and do one big boxing match. Yeah. He's 53 or 54 years old. He shouldn't do that.
How many comebacks have there been now?
No, it is just going to, at 54 years old, you are going to get knocked out, Mr. Tyson. And then that's what
we'll remember. Or he's going to do something outrageous. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think
it's going to ruin his legacy.
I don't know how you talk ear biting, but still.
He's so adamant. I mean, listen, if you listen to Mike Tyson in interviews, and he's done a few of them recently, he does these, you know, podcasts, he's got his own show and everything, and he's so addled. I mean, like the guy's really, he struggles. He struggles to keep, you know, to stay on a subject. He's not all there, and he's taken a lot of drugs in his life, and he's been hit in the head a lot of times. So he's in no position to be making these decisions. It's really not a good idea.
And he needs a better management team.
Mm.
A hit to the head at 54. Ooh, yikes, that's tough. Look, I think he's sort of doing it for the money because it's rumored that he'll get $25 million just based on this fight alone. So I think, one knock to the head and I have to spend the next month in an ice bucket versus $25 million. I think it's worth it, but also not good for
you. Would you do it, Sarah? Would you get knocked in the head for $25 million?
Not a chance.
Yeah.
For $25 million.
Million, Gareth.
$25 million, but you might not be able to speak again. You might drool the whole time.
Let's say okay, you recover, like you have one eye.
Oh no.
And you can still talk, but you can't taste food. $25 million? What's your price for this?
Well,
Gilly, firstly, Mike Tyson and talking already has been debatable. Yeah. So he's on the back foot there.
Especially if you've been knocked out before, you're not so scared of being knocked out again.
No. Well, someone says here that Mike Tyson and his tiger should have a fight. That would be worth watching.
I'd watch that.
And Nico says that you should watch him exercising. He's an animal. And I mean, apparently he's really ripped to shreds, according to LB. He's ripped to shreds and he looks better than ever. Oh. He did a fight within the last year. So he's no slow, you know, no slow coach, no loser. Maybe that's a good point to take in there as well. He's probably fitter than you and me, Sia.
Here's another thing, though. You're on the outside, perhaps you might not look 54, but there are certain things on the inside that are definitely 54 years old. You know, there's one tiny random bone. Yes, because I'm a doctor.
Tell us about
I know
the bone that you're describing.
There's probably some random bone in your back that will never be able to recover from this fight that will always remind you that you're 54 plus years old. So just don't do it. Just cut it out. Sit and start to crochet a cardigan for Gilly.
I've got a friend who's
great idea.
He's 45 and he says anytime he wakes up without an ache or a pain, he reckons that he's going to have the best day ever because he's used to waking up with something. That's 45. That's not even that old. So that's what you got to look forward to.
But it does start happening in your 30s. That's what happens.
Oh, man. Oh, like if you bump something in your 40s or 50s, it stays sore for like a week. when you're in your 20s, if you bump against a table or you stub your toe or whatever, it's sore for like, you know, 20 minutes and then you're fine. So that's something to think about too. It's not very pleasant getting old.
I went out on my birthday. I got drunk on my birthday last week.
Good
and
for you.
I don't think I have recovered yet.
Hangovers really, they hit hard in your 30s and 40s. So hangover just is not a thing to play with. You need a whole day to recover, sometimes even more.
Yeah, 2 days. I'd say 2 days for the damage I did. I don't know if it's because I'm old or because I haven't really been drinking for most of the past year or both.
Might be that. You're out of practice. You've lost your drinking fitness.
I'm out of practice. I'm one of those people, you know, when the alcohol ban came in, I was like, all right, okay, well then I guess I won't drink then. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know people who did that with smoking and they've never actually gone back to it. Although that's a very tiny minority. Most of them carried on. They smoked those horrible Zimbabwean ones. You know, the ones that that smelt really,
I did the
really
same
terrible.
With men as well. Once they banned those, I stopped using them as well.
And you've never looked back.
Never looked back.
No, your life is better.
Just needed to import some random men.
Well, I'm not sure. Listen, we sit here and we criticize Mike Tyson, but I'll tell you what. He may be in better physical shape than all of us in his 50s. And there are people like that. There's this dude who I saw at the gym like 3 years ago. He's got like silver hair. He's definitely in his 50s, maybe even his 60s. I'll tell you what, this guy was, he was more fit than I have ever been or will ever be. And I admire people like that. Like I'd want to be one of those cool 50 or 60 year olds who's like physically in great shape. You feel good all the time. You're in charge of your body, not the other way around. I think that's amazing. And I admire
that. I had to stop swimming because I was swimming at the gym a few years ago and I just had people who were literally like 80 just lapping me. Like I couldn't, I would get to one end of the pool and they'd have done 4 laps and I just couldn't. I mean, I'm not really a competitive person, but that was really testing my ego.
It became humiliating.
Oh no.
It became humiliating. I just couldn't do it. What if somebody's watching from the treadmills at the top? You know?
Yeah,
I know. I think I'm drowning as well, which is a safety hazard. I don't want to cause a fuss.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, you know, in this, because we started talking about whether or not it's a good idea for older people to be on social media, and we got reprimanded by Sandra. But I'll tell you what, Instagram does not make it easy. If you feel horrible in the morning, the last thing you want to do is look at everyone else's Instagram because they're always putting on these. I don't know how any of those filters work. So I'm not good at that stuff. Sia knows how they work.
Maybe Sandra can teach you.
Yeah, maybe.
Yes, maybe she probably knows.
Maybe Sandra's Instagram looks really good. She should send it to us and we can judge. But I mean, the fact is, like, some people are really proficient at that stuff and they know which filter to use. They know how the lighting's got to look. They know which angle it's got to come from. I mean, I've just never been any good at any of that stuff. And it's not just because I'm bad at that, but also because I look like I do. So I've never found an angle that I think is something worth approving of. So Sandra's now starting to,
you know, what's terrible is performing on stage and then people take photos of you and then you can't control what photos are out there. And the problem with the stage is you're standing there, you're not trying to pose and look good. You're just trying to do the job that you're doing. And then what happens is you see the photo and then you see what you really look like, which is devastating,
especially when you're making expressions. And it's one of the reasons I resisted.
Oh, you have no idea. My face is crazy on stage. Crazy.
I resisted doing this show on YouTube for years. And we eventually, you know, we kind of had to do it because it was such an obvious opportunity that we were missing. And I've always, I hate seeing myself live. So I try not even to look at the screen most of the time, but it's hilarious because you'll react to something and you'll go, and then you look at the picture because that's when it's frozen. And like we did this the other day, and then you think, oh my God, that's so horrible. I remember also the newspapers always used to use the worst picture of me that they could find whenever there was a story about me in the news. So they have like a library of the most terrible, terrible pictures. Not one of them is even slightly, what happened, Sia? Not even slightly flattering.
Sorry.
And, And they'll use that one over and over again, even though it's like 15 years old. That's the picture they decide they're going to use. Horrible. Horrible, horrible.
Horrible. Horrible. No, and I'm incredibly vain. I don't like it at all. I see pictures of myself on stage doing crazy faces, and then I go, oh, that's why they weren't laughing that day. I'm terrifying. I am terrifying. I'm going around the country terrifying audiences all over the country.
I know, for sure. Oh, man.
No, this time of Zoom calls and now doing the show online as well, I will admit, has made me even more vain. Because I hear what people are saying, and then we're in a meeting and it's very intense and a lot of serious things are being discussed. But I'm always aware of, how am I looking right now?
Because you always stare at yourself in the camera, even right now.
Okay, so I'm not the only one.
No, everyone does it. It's crazy. I don't know what's wrong with us. Why do we stare at ourselves? Well, what is wrong with us?
I suppose there are also those people who are, they're hearing you say this now and they think, yeah, every time I'm in a Zoom meeting, I'm not really looking at the other people. Which is crazy.
No.
But it's,
which is the one thing you can't do when you're in a real meeting. You can't look at yourself.
No.
So I think this is having some kind of long-term impact that we don't know about.
Well, I mean, think about it.
This
people,
is a whole new world.
Nobody can walk past a mirror without looking at themselves. Even if you're not vain, people do that, right? Anytime there's
That's
a mirror
true.
Around, they have to look in it, because most of us are just checking if we still look okay. If we haven't completely
That's
fallen
true.
Apart or haven't got like schmutz in our on our jacket or whatever.
You know what happens to me?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I leave the house often in the morning. I think I look amazing. You know, I'm like, got the makeup on, I've like dressed up, whatever. And I think, oh, you are killing it. And then I go out and I catch a glimpse of some, I walk past the mirror and I'm like, who is that hideous person?
It's me. That's me too.
Why does that happen? Why does it look great in the mirror at home? And then you walk out and it all falls apart.
Yeah.
Okay, the other thing I realize that happens is this. Have you ever done this? You're having like a good day. You think, okay, my hair looks good. I look good. You know, I'm feeling myself. And then you go out and then you see a real, like a proper hot person.
Yeah.
Like a real life, like a professional hot person. And you're like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then suddenly
this, I know,
puts you in your place.
This I'm ready for people to roll their eyes at. And this is just superficial and completely vain. But there are two things I always make sure to do when I leave the house, particularly though if I'm going to an event or a party or something. So I have three different spots in my place that I use with different lighting to see how I look. I wish I was joking.
You are such a professional. You really are.
It is my lounge, my bathroom, and my room.
Here's what I want to know. How much does it vary? I mean, you're quite consistent in your appearance. You know, how much variance do you get, you know?
So my lounge has a lot of natural light and it has these sliding doors in, so a lot of light comes in. That's the natural light. My room is very well lit artificially.
Uh-huh.
And then my bathroom has a long floor to ceiling length mirror.
Uh-huh.
So I'm able to see that whole look come together. Three different lighting.
Three-pronged approach.
Yeah, because the last thing you want is then you go outside. Maybe you'll be in a garden or out in public, you know. Then you need natural light. How will you look there as opposed to if you're going indoors?
So
I need something like
Which one is the most flattering?
Gareth, depends on the time of the day and what you're wearing and what you're going for. But you want to make sure that you look consistently good.
Sorry.
You
can tell I don't
good in all three.
I've come to terms with being Quasimodo, so I'm asking these questions, but I'm really naive about it. So Silver Super Scout says, guys, we don't really care what you look like. We aren't here for a beauty guru channel.
Super Scouts, we don't care what your sentences are like. We didn't come here to read your sentences, okay? We came here to talk cuck for 2 hours, and now you're going to just know.
Yes.
Silver Super Scout, we didn't come here to read that name. What's your real name? Tell us what your real name is. Say it to our face, okay?
Yes. And then the last loserish thing that I do as well is I do the sit-down test before I leave. If this is in like a new outfit or something, I sit either on my bar stool or then on a chair or a couch. to see how tight it is, how does it look, their tight pants, how much do they roll up, how much of my socks do you see? Very important. Very important.
That's a lot of work, Sia.
That's a lot.
Thank you.
It's a lot of work for, I feel like, not a lot of variation. I mean, you look good. I feel like you're not getting, you don't have a lot of range.
Yeah.
From where I'm sitting. You know what I mean? Like, I've got range. Let me tell you something. Like from when I wake up in the morning to what I would look like at a wedding, say, I cannot tell you the range. I can go from like a 3 to a 10.
Yes. Ah.
Listen, you have pretty amazing hair though. I mean, that hair is that a maintenance thing?
Thank you.
Or is that just natural?
It is. No, here's what you have to understand about this. Okay. There's a lot of dye that goes on in here because my hair is almost completely gray.
You're joking.
Completely.
No.
All of it.
But like a silver,
what did you do
like
under
a sexy silvery color, or is it?
It's silver. It's like very, very gray. And it's just gotten worse and worse and worse. And me and my friend, my best friend, who see the same hairdresser, are starting to think that he's actually putting stuff in the dye that's making our hair grayer.
Well, he needs to keep you
coming.
That's
what we've started to believe.
How long does it take you? Because I know, I mean, we've spoken to Pumi before about, you know, black women's hair. It can take you like a whole day, like 8 hours or more to like have, you know.
No, this is a different story, I have to say. Hair dye takes about, you just dye your roots. It takes about 2 hours, but it's expensive. Mm. And the more gray it is, the more often you have to do it, which is what's happening to me now. I'm basically having to, I'm like a crack fiend at my hairdresser, basically.
Well, listen, whatever you're doing and whoever this hairdresser is, like, it looks good. So keep going. I mean, it's like.
Thank you. But the hair is my own.
Yeah, you've got pretty incredible hair.
You know, one thing I can thank myself for is I wake up, I usually have a good hair day. And you've got to count your blessings.
Oh, man. Sorry, Sia. I saw this ridiculous lad Bible thing come up on Instagram about how Prince William has just been voted the sexiest bald man in the world. And I'm like, yeah, but that's like winning, you know, the wheelchair Olympics against, you know, people who have even worse problems. It's like,
also, people are very upset about that.
I know. I know for a fact that I would be the ugliest bald person. Thank God I've got hair because it would make me 20 times worse. I don't think my head is a nice shape.
That's rubbish. You've got such great hair too. Yeah, Garrett's got great hair.
Thank the Lord I've got some, because if I were
phenomenal.
Bald, I promise you I would drop from like a 4 to a 2 instantly.
Satana wants to know my hairdresser. Let me tell you something. Brian Ho at Swift. It's the man.
There we go, Busted Son. Uh-huh. Now you know. Mm. Silver hair is like a fashion trend now. Just go for it, says LB. Would you ever just let your hair silver up?
Yeah, but let me tell you something. Let me just clear something about the silver hair that people think is so cute. Okay, if you are like if you're 25 and you get silver hair, it looks cool. It looks like a fashion trend. It looks like you're doing something cool. If you're 39, it makes you look like you're 49. Mm. That's all it does.
Mm. Yeah.
It just makes you look like you are... You know, you've given up. It makes you look like you've given up. That's how I feel personally. Some people are good looking enough to carry it off. That's all I can say.
What did you want to say before I interrupted you, Sia?
No, well, I was seeing like minor petitions come up with this whole Prince William thing. People are coming and trying to push for Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Vin Diesel,
Larry David, to Stanley Tucci.
Love Larry David. Now, just tell me, are you as big a fan as I am of Larry David? Because I think that guy is an absolute genius. And apparently,
he's my hero.
Apparently, in real life, he's as weird as he is on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Well, have you ever seen him in an interview?
Yeah.
He's like, he's worse than the character. He's insufferable.
Mm. I love that guy.
Really?
God, I think he's great.
Me too.
Anyway, I'm afraid we're out of time. We'd love to talk about Larry David for another 3
Wait,
hours.
Before we go, Dino Christodoulou says, Gilly, you're a belter. Thanks, boy.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, there we go. Dino, nice comment there to end things. You had to throw that one in, right, Gilly?
I had to.
All right. Well, listen, Abigail's got some advice for all of us here, and we're going to end on this. She says, heads up, guys, as you become older, you really don't care what others think of you. As long as I'm well-groomed, smell good, am neat and tidy, people will always criticize. Just do you. Thank you, Abigail. Very good point. Well put. And Gilly, thanks for being part of the show today. It's always good to have you with us, and people love you.
Thank you for having me.
So if you're ever bored and you've got a spare day, let us know.
Will do.
Awesome. All right, everyone, have a happy day. We will we'll see you tomorrow morning, bright and early at 6 o'clock on cliffcentral.com.
Cliffcentral.com.